father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Black Bauer says Altuve is to Yankee fan what Steph Curry is to the Rockets and T.Y. Hilton is to the Texans. He's their daddy, that's for sure. And Steph Curry did it at the highest level, and so is Altuve. T.Y. Hilton, I think they beat him once in the playoffs.
Yeah, but T.Y. Hilton's destruction was so complete and absolute that it was the – in my NFL notes that I get from NFL research, it's the largest receiver versus team number, career number in history of the league. It's like, really, Jerry Rice or Randy Moss didn't do something to the Bears or the Packers? No, it's T.Y. versus Houston. That's the most. I'm like, yeah, that tracks.
Biggest ass
that actually
ever.
Tracks. Yeah, I mean, every game he was averaging, I think it was at one point it was 127 yards per game against the Texans.
Yeah, his full season would have been a haul. His 16 games against the Texans was like the greatest season and receiving season in NFL history. His 16 games against the Houston Texans. So yeah, no, that's pretty. It's pretty good. You got Verlander on the mound today, this afternoon. Afternoon game, 1:10. That's so much fun. There's going to be so many Coors Lights. There's going to be so many Coors Lights and Berea tacos today. And just, it's just, that just is fun.
I love those
tacos. I'm hoping that I'm still going to be awake for the Rockets at 9 o'clock tonight. Either way, I'll tape it, though, and have to watch it.
Why would you not be awake?
What?
Why would you not be awake?
Because I'm going to have a full day at Minute Maid.
Just watching game. Oh, keeping score. Does that make you tired?
Yeah, it doesn't tire me.
You and Charlie. By the way, somebody took a picture. Charlie is at the Astros in a seat. Got a scorecard. Keeping score.
That's what
on brand.
That's what Charlie does. What Charlie does. No, I'm not going to do that. I'll be on brand if you take a picture of me.
I know you will be on brand.
There will be a good chance that I'll have a Coors Light.
I know. You had a ticket for me, man. I wish I could go. I got to write this defensive rookie of the year up.
Whatever.
I haven't decided. Obviously, Kenyon Priorities. Green is not offensive rookie of the year material. No offensive lineman, no tight end has ever won that award. The offensive rookie of the year.
No offensive lineman, no tight end.
Nope. And do you know that quarterbacks, only one quarterback has more than only two quarterbacks in the entire history of the event or of the award? Two quarterbacks who have won the award, that is, have thrown for more than 21 touchdowns in a year. 23, Dak Prescott, and 31, Justin Herbert. It's the only time quarterbacks have thrown. RG3 was 20 touchdowns. It was 20 or 21 for it was 21 for Cam. It was 20 for Kyler Murray. So that just kind of goes to show you, rookies of the year, Davis Mills had 16 last year, and he wasn't even a full-time starter.
No, he wasn't even on the list. He didn't even make the list, buddy. And he's considered. Prognosticators and these projectors and these talent evaluators have Davis Mills as the 35th best quarterback in the league. It's just stupid. It's just dumb. If you obviously didn't watch it, all you're doing is just judging the Houston Texans as a piss poor team, and it's unfair. But who cares if Davis Mills plays well? So who do you project as the
Breece Hall. Breece Hall with the Jets. He plays, Breece Hall plays all three downs, and he's going to get lots of opportunities. They have another Michael Carter they have there, who is the backup running back, who's kind of a good second running back. That's what he was to Javonte Williams at North Carolina. So he'll do the same thing with Breece Hall. But talk to a friend with the Jets, and he's like, man, Breece really gets it. Really is working great, understands pass protection, has a tremendous amount of juice. And so I looked at everything. I made Breece Hall number one from the Jets. Number two, I made I have my article right here. Number two, see what you think of these. I have Treylon Burks. Because I looked at that. Once you get past Robert Woods, the Tennessee Titans don't have many wide receivers. So I made Treylon Burks the number two. Kenny Pickett I made number three only because – if a quarterback gets in as a starter, they definitely have a chance to be rookie of the year. So I made Kenny Pickett three, but see, I made Justin Fields three, and I thought Justin Fields legitimately was like six last year. If I had to, you know, personally put my own money on it, I would have made Justin like fifth or sixth. Trey Lance, they had four or five. Based on that very reason, I had him like nine or ten. Garrett Wilson at four from the Jets. I think Garrett Wilson has a very real shot. He can play all three positions. And, you know, Zach Wilson has, you know, maybe Elijah Moore, but Zach Wilson needs to find a wide receiver that he can really grow with. Sky Moore, I made five. I'm higher on Sky than other people because that's another team. Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling are the two top wide receivers, I guess. They came over as free agents, so Mahomes has never worked with them before. And then you've got Sky Moore. Maybe Sky Moore, who's a better route runner. He's faster than Juju and better route runner than Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We know the top receiver over there is going to be Kelsey, you know, pass catcher. Everyone's top guy, one of their top three, is always Drake London. I made him seventh because Marcus Mariota is your quarterback, and you have Kyle Pitts, and you play an elite division with Tampa's corners, the Saints' corners, and Carolina's corners. They all spent like first-round picks, high picks on the corners.
What about Christian Watson?
Watson was tough. I made him eighth because I've been reading up on him. He's had a ton of drops in their early camps. And if Brett Favre doesn't trust you, but that's the thing. If Brett
Jamar Chase had a bunch of drops too.
Yeah, but he had a bunch in college. Jamar didn't. Christian Watson during his career has had a lot of drops. And it's happened in the pros too. But this is what I said. Let's be honest. This is Watson's award to win if Aaron Rodgers decides he loves the rookie. And that's just the case. Yep. If you have a great – same thing with Sky Moore. If Pat Mahomes loves Sky Moore or if Aaron Rodgers loves Christian Watson, look out. They're going to be fantasy football factors, and they're going to be offensive rookie of the year favorites if they, you know, if they really love them. Chris Olave, who I really like, I made ninth because you got two loudmouths over there and Jarvis Landry and Mike Thomas. Those guys are going to demand the football from Jameis Winston. And then once you know that what's his name is going to have like a 6-game suspension, right? For violence is Alvin Kamara. For those who've forgotten about that, Kamara got in a bad fight. He beat somebody up, and he is part of a group who beat a guy up, and he'll be out for 6 games. And then Jahan Dotson with the Commodores, I like number 10. And I think he's a little bit of a dark horse candidate that might make a little bit of noise.
All right, let's get Noba in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Noba.
Hey, guys. This is Noba Steve. I just I had a quick question, really two questions. I watched the movie Hustle on Netflix. It's amazing. Have you seen it?
Yep.
Kenny the Jet Smith, amazing performance. And, of course, Jay Wright was awesome. Mavs are making a huge mistake letting Jalen Brunson walk. Do you think that Jay Wright could end up as head coach of the New York Knicks?
Nova One Stunner!
Because he's a Nova One Stunner! That's all. Jay Wright's going to the Knicks, and they're going to take over!
Taking over like Villanova. This is our one Villanova fan who calls in.
It's Nova.
Nova. I like Brunson to the Knicks. I think that's a great – I think Brunson is definitely – he and Tyrese Maxey were the guys at the end of the year. You say, these are the next guys. You know, Chris Middleton made that move at one point during his career. Siakam made that move back in, 19? Every year, every couple of years, somebody takes a step in the second half of a season where you say, oh, I didn't expect Brunson to be this guy. It looks like Brunson's going to be that guy. So I like that move for the Knicks. I have not seen Hustle. I've actually heard pretty good things about it.
I saw it.
Oh, you did? What do you think?
It's good. Really
is it
good.
A movie or a series? It's a movie.
It's a movie. It's a movie.
He's so Sandler's an international basketball scout.
It seems like it's a realistic look at how.
I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really
who
is.
Who did that?
And everybody in the NBA is in it. Everybody.
So is that a LeBron? Is that.
Oh,
was
it,
that
was
produced
it was
by
a Happy Madison.
No, but I think maybe Maverick Carter was involved in also. Yes, it was actually LeBron is part of that, right, RJ? I'm pretty sure LeBron is part of that. So it had some real basketball background to it.
I mean, I'm telling you, everybody played themselves except Anthony Edwards. He didn't play himself. He played the tough guy that was hard on Adam Sandler's guy.
Who did that?
Anthony Edwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say he was pretty good.
He was good.
So Adam Sandler, LeBron James, Maverick Carter are three of the six producers for that movie.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. It was really good. If you're a basketball aficionado, have you seen it, RJ? You haven't seen it? You need to see it. You'll love it. I mean, it's basketball. Real basketball.
I need to see that. I'm waiting for Better Call Saul to come. Isn't that supposed to come out soon?
Coming mid-July.
Okay.
Yeah, mid-July. Wait,
the final. I need to finish Ozark, and then I know. I just.
What's wrong with you?
I'll get to it when I get to it. I can only do. Better Call Saul and Ozark have the same bad guy, basically.
Disgusted.
You know, so there's a cousin who's really a wild card that shoots everybody. It's the same guy.
It is.
The same character.
It really is. Just looking at Jalen Brunson, I agree. Why the Mavs are going to regret not tying this guy up,
Brunson?
Because
Brunson went off. Man.
Yeah, he really went off. I don't know that he's good enough to be the second best. He's good enough to be Robin on a championship team, but he sure is. He's Alfred then, because dude could be. He's a real piece to a puzzle for a championship. He can play. He can score. He can go. I think the Knicks did a hell of a job. The Knicks got themselves a nice player. Just 4 years in Dallas, and he, he's a shooter. His career is 37% from three, and he's a 50% shooter from
just
the field.
Look at how he's improved every year. You see the growth pattern. You want to see a growth pattern? His second year, 8.2. Third year, 12.6. Last year, 16.3. His 3-point percentage has always been good. His field goal percentage has been, has improved. It's solid. He can shoot free throws. Last year was his highest free throw percentage at 84%. Yeah, I mean, I think he's an assist to turnovers. You mentioned. I mean, he's a 4-to-1 assist to turnover guy. So Jalen Brunson, I think that was a great pickup for the Knicks. Really,
Nova.
It's the number one stunner, but he says Nova one stunner.
812 ESPN.
I love it when people get hyped on their team. Like, we used to have a guy, Jetliner, call in because he loved the Jets.
Yeah.
Like, Villanova Steve, I think he's Nova Steve, but he calls himself Nova. And he sent us in.
He did a rap for us when they were playing.
I'm not sure. Is this Sonny? Yeah. I think it's the same guy because he did a rap where he does a rap to basically what sounds like a tape player in the background, super treble, you can't hear any bass in it.
It's awful.
Bad production value. It's so bad that you love it. Like, it's so bad that it's good. It's kind of like All Systems Go.
It's awesome. All right, 812 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 7 3. This is taking calls.
Hey, I will tell you, when we come back, I'm gonna tell you a reason why I saw something yesterday that makes me a little nervous for Jeremy Pena. I saw something very specific that the Royals did that made me go, uh-oh, with Jeremy Pena. When we come back, I'll talk about it.
I know what you're talking about. And right now I'm talking about Champion Energy, being a champion. If you're looking to be a champion, my friends, all you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560. Save money every single month. I mean, it's ridiculous how low you can go with Champion Energy. It's the best. And Champion Energy is going to get you your electricity at a better price. They're just going to do it. And they're going to give you the best in service. J.D. Power & Associates says it's number one in residential service. So that's what you're looking for. We went to Champion as a business because it was just it was ridiculous what we were paying before. And then we go with Champion. It's like, holy cow. And they've been with us ever since, and we've been with them ever since. So you're looking for that electricity company, champion.energy/1560.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, right, welcome back. 816 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A great day today. Going to the Astros. Let's go. Meet you over at Cobos Q. Raul, start cooking. Let's go. Get that fryer up. Let's go. And that barbecue up. And then go to the game. And then Rockets tonight, your first chance to see Jabari Smith in action tonight for your Houston Rockets, 9 o'clock. And they're playing Paolo Banchero, the number one pick. How about that?
Paolo.
And then on Saturday, Banchero. they get the stick man.
Paolo Banchero's Italian.
No.
Say his name. Paolo Banchero.
Well, yeah, but he's not really.
There's a chance. We don't know if he's Italian.
No, we do know.
Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero.
We do know.
Hey, I'm a little nervous about Jeremy Pena, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
And I know people will think this is overreacting, but this is something very specific that I noticed the Royals doing to him with every pitcher who faced him. He was 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts. Now, there's going to be some people saying, it's just hindsight. No, it was hindsight based on what I saw. And what I saw was an approach where he struggled against the slider.
The slider.
Man, you noticed the same thing.
Yep.
They were all throwing. I mean, every once in a while they're throwing him fastballs, but he got a heavy dose of sliders. And I'll tell you what now, he was chasing them low. He was chasing them away. He did not look confident with the slider. And I noticed every single Royals pitcher, clearly their game plan is throw this kid sliders. I'm wondering now, as a rookie, if people are going to be advanced scouting him and saying,
yep,
slider's the pitch for him.
Well, you got a book on a guy, and the book right now is throw sliders at him. Here's the deal. What I like about Jeremy is that he goes the other way, and he wasn't trying to do that. He was flailing away trying to pull that slider on outside.
He wasn't hanging on.
And it was out of the zone.
But he wasn't recognizing it.
He was not recognizing at all. So, that you know what? He had a bad game. But I trust that he is going to, you know what? He's going to get it. He's going to see a bunch of them. So once you see a bunch of them, now all of a sudden, hey, that was Hall of Famer Craig Biggio's Achilles was that slider away.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a tough, tough pitch, especially coming all the way across the plate, all the way across your body and then on the outside and out of the zone. He's got to be a little bit more disciplined than he was last night. He wasn't at all. He was flailing last night. It looked bad. But you know what? It's one game. Today he might feel a hell of a lot more confident, and who knows? Somebody hangs one. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
If I were to tell you who has the worst plate discipline of any Astros hitter, there's only one answer.
The worst plate discipline of any Astros? Well, I mean, Maldonado Yuli is
the worst is Chaz McCormick.
Oh, well, I'm not even counting Chaz McCormick.
He's not
even on the team.
What are you talking about? He started yesterday in left field. He is on the team. Chaz McCormick, now he had a couple walks, which is nice, but Chaz will go hacking it. If you get him down 2 strikes, it is on, because all you got to do is throw him a slider in the dirt, and that kid is swinging 100%.
Or a fastball in his eyes.
A fastball up out of the zone.
Yeah.
Like, the out pitch to him, you've got at least 3 out pitches that you can get him with about 80% of the time.
Yeah.
He is not Astros material. Jake Meyer's Astros material as a hitter. He's got some Astro blood in him. You can see the way he approaches his at-bats, the bat speed, the vision that he approaches the at-bats with. He's got Astros blood in him. Chaz McCormick, did we get him from the Tigers? Where did Chaz McCormick come from? That's not Astro blood in him. He's adopted.
He's not adopted?
He's an adopted Astro.
He doesn't have Astros
blood.
He's one of our own, and you just give up on him because he chases fastballs around his face.
I like that when he hits it hard.
Yeah.
But I don't see him long-term.
What's he got? He's got like 8 homers this year. In a limited role.
He swings hard. I don't think he has 8, does he?
Let me see.
He swings really, really. I think it's closer to like 6, right?
5, his stats.
4.
He has 8 homers this year. 8 homers.
Way more than I would have thought.
Yeah. No. When he got sent down, he had 6 homers, and he's picked up a couple since he came back.
Chazzer swings hard now.
Yeah.
He's got some power.
No.
I just don't think he's a long-term Astro in terms of starter.
No.
Because he doesn't
have. Would you give him up in a package?
Oh.
You regret giving up JD Martinez? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't any part of that. Who was paying attention to the Astros back then?
We all were.
What year was that when JD was gone? Wasn't it like, you sure?
6-15? It was right before the 15 season?
Maybe? No, it was like, I think it was closer to 13.
No, I think it was right before the 15 season. He came back and he was looking really good.
It wasn't that late, was it?
What year did he?
I started really focusing in when I knew George had a chance to come up, which was more 14. I mean, we were the home of the Astros at 790, and I did a show with Charlie. So we were going to talk Astros, but there was really nothing to get behind other than Altuve. Like, there was no young core that you could see light at the end of the tunnel until you got John Singleton, you know, the great John Singleton and mm-hmm. George Springer. That's what we waited for every day. Is today going to be the day? And Charlie would annihilate the Astros every day that George Springer and John Singleton were not up with the big
guns. Yeah, 14 he went to the Tigers. He was with the Astros in 13. He
just released.
Hit 250. He hit 315 his first year with the Tigers.
Just released. And he said he made changes then to it.
Yeah, no, he approach. Made. And he was in the book, Astros, what is it called? The Luno book, the
yeah.
book by Reader. Anyway, he said, Luno was like, yeah, he came back. He went, and all offseason, he was working with a hitting instructor, I think up in Seattle, in the Seattle area. And he came back, and he was awesome in spring training.
Astro ball.
Yeah. And he was awesome in spring training.
Sure.
And the Astros said, nah, we don't believe you. Don't believe you. And then he went and hit 315 for the Tigers that year.
Yeah, no, obviously that was a huge miss.
Look at him. Look at him. 315, 282, 307, 305, 302, 330,
all-star.
304.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
He's been a phenomenal
hitter. He's 311 this year.
Yeah, it was one of the worst misses in Astros history.
Yeah.
I mean, but they also, somebody else fixed him. And the Astros helped to fix a while back.
Well, but
they,
he had been fixed when he was an Astro, and the Astros didn't recognize him.
But, you know,
him.
This is why it's so important to have a good hitting coach, a good pitching coach, because the Astros fixed Jose Altuve. They, when I say fixed, they incorporated a leg kick that allowed him as a timing mechanism. You know, you remember Craig Biggio had to alter his because his leg kick, which was very important, his high exaggerated leg step, as his bat speed diminished and he got older, he had to eliminate that, and he actually, you know, picked up the pace again. Jose Altuve, they say they put one in to help him with his timing, and it was huge for him. Stromme, we know, has done amazing jobs with pitchers, and now, you know, the Astros are continuing to do that work.
Well, and you asked who's the first name I thought of when you said the least disciplined is Jose Altuve. I mean, he can flail now at times.
Yeah, that's still who he is.
Yeah. I mean, he's always swinging like he's trying to get off the
he's
island.
He's an aggressive, yeah, but it's part of why he is going to be an all-time great second baseman, because his level of aggressiveness allows him to, you know, you can't sneak fastballs inside on him. He's got the bat speed and the twitch and, you know, the aggressiveness to turn and yank it. I mean, it's why Jose Altuve, that aggressiveness also, you give and you get, right? Jose Altuve has not been wiped out. The problem I have with Craig Biggio is Craig Biggio was a phenomenal baseball player, but it was like he just couldn't get over the hump with that slider away. Jose Altuve doesn't really have one pitch that always gets him out. You know, that's the good thing about Altuve is there's not one pitch that is always going to get Jose Altuve out.
No, that slider so away not, is, a, I mean, is an Achilles
it's
for him
a,
too, though.
It's a tough one for him. A tough one for him, but he can also lay off. He can also go the other way with it when he needs to, although he's still more of a pull hitter.
Absolutely. It's 826 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number you'd like to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's see if you agree with this assessment of the best rosters in the NFL when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about my peeps over at Chastain. July 18th, you're going to be able to order your F-150s again at Chastain Ford. That is awesome. So they had to shut it down. The 2023s are going to be coming out. You can order yours, and you're going to order it just the way you want it, okay? And that's the case. And you can still order other stuff if you're into other vehicles, whatever. But obviously, the F-150 is so cool, and that's the one you want. You get to order it exactly how you want it. You want the sunroof? You don't want the sunroof. You want the bedliner? You don't want the bedliner. You want to be your payments to be at this price? Then that's where your payments are going to get to. And Chastain Ford is going to work with you every step of the way. They're going to give you all the rebates they can. They're not going to mark up. They're not going to add on. They're going to give you the best deal that you can possibly get, because they want you, in that car or truck, and they don't want you choking on the payments. And the other dealerships are like, hey, we're going to mark up. We're going to get as much. We got to gouge as much as we possibly can. That ain't the way they do it at Chastang Ford. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to buy your next car from Chastang Ford as well. Now, be it a pre-owned vehicle, which are certified out there on the lot, or that Ford car or truck that you're looking for, you got it at ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. CBS Sports Headquarters put out a list. Best rosters in the NFL.
Texans are probably going to fall all the way to 8.
They fell further than 8. Texans fell to 31st. 31st in the league.
Man, okay. Who's worse?
The Falcons.
Okay. I'm not sure about that.
Would you rather have Davis Mills or Marcus Mariota at quarterback?
No, Davis Mills. At least Marcus already know what I got, so I'd rather take what's in box number two. I mean, Davis Mills right now is just, do you want this or do you want what's behind door number two? I'll take door number two. That's Davis Mills. I don't know what I have, so I'll take that. I'll take hoping and wishing.
Yeah, the Falcons suck. The Falcons are going to be really bad.
Falcons are not going to be good. They still have Kyle Pitts. They have Jake Matthews. They have... They're not great.
No, they're not. No. What wide receivers they get in the draft?
Let me see.
No, they picked up a good wide receiver, didn't they?
They picked up Drake London.
Yeah. We'll find out whether or not he can separate. We'll see.
No, I already know he can't. He can't separate. The question is, can he make a bunch of contested catches? Here's the Falcons have Bryan Edwards, Drake London as your starters. Auden Tate is another one. We know that they lost Calvin Ridley to gambling and just to not playing last year.
He went to Mitch Fox's
sleeping bag. You have Jake Matthews there. Chris Lindstrom at right guard. Their offensive line's not great. Kyle Pitts is a monster. Cordarrelle Patterson's a good player.
Yep.
Good player. He's officially a running back now. Damian Williams, who came from Chicago. Ooh, Taquan Graham, no good. Eddie Goldman is good. Nose tackle. Grady Jarrett's good.
Yep.
Offensive tackle. Lorenzo Carter, Michael Walker, Rashawn Evans, who they got from Tennessee via Alabama. Arnold Ebiketie was the rookie defensive end they drafted from Penn State. A.J. Terrell's pretty good corner. Yeah, Texans are worse. Like, there's more guys who I would consider to be at least, like, they have a true tier one player in Kyle Pitts. A.J. Terrell is a good tier two player. Jake Matthews, probably a tier two type guy.
Well, but the Texans have Tunsil. They have Howard. They have Kenyon Green.
I'm not putting Howard anywhere. What has Howard done? Been part of a bad offensive line for 3 years.
Yeah, but
Kenyon Green's a rookie, so let's see what he can do.
Well,
who are the
players? We'll find out if they can run.
Who are the guys you know that can really play?
Yeah. For the Texans?
Tunsil's a legit guy. He's not on Pitts' level, but I'd put him more like A.J. Terrell. Really good, you know, can be a very good player at his position. I think Kyle Pitts is an elite talent. The Texans don't have somebody like that. Laremy Tunsil had a chance to be that. You can't give him that now. He hasn't played like that.
Five games last year. All right, so who has the best talent in the league? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious who are the favorites this year.
Let's see. The best talent. Cowboys have a lot of talent, but I would say the best talent is going to be the Rams.
The Rams are third, according to CBS.
Rams are third. Tampa actually should be up there.
Tampa's fourth.
Not the Chiefs, I don't think.
The Chiefs are sixth.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them in there. Ooh, this is good. Hold on, let me think. Nobody in the AFC. Well, San Francisco?
San Francisco, no, they've got them 18th. Although they have more talent 18th. Than that.
They've got way more talent.
They got
talent
less
than
the Steelers? No, they got more talent than that.
Do the Colts get into the top 10?
The Colts get in 16. Huh. It's going to be pretty obvious to you. The Bills are the favorite. The Bills.
Yeah, honestly, that's not. Name your top five Bills. I don't think it's as obvious as you think.
Well, I mean, they got
two Josh
great
Allen.
Wide receivers.
You got Josh Allen. You got
Diggs.
Well, you got one great wide receiver. Who's the other one?
Oh, I like Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's going to be.
He had
really,
a good playoff game.
Yeah, no,
I think he's got a chance. I think
he's got a chance to be really good.
Yeah, but I'm not putting him on great just
they
yet.
Got Edmonds. They got
Edmonds is fine. No offensive linemen stand out.
Tre'Davious. I mean,
yeah, Tre'Davious White is really good.
I mean, they
I'll give you that. But it's hard. I can come up with a lot of teams higher than when they got him number one. So you want to talk about top tier talent.
They got Bush. Who's got the best wife in the league?
Bush.
Yeah. Oh no. Jordan
Poyer.
Yeah, Rachel Bush. Yeah, Jordan
Poyer.
Yeah,
no, they've got two very good safeties. Very quietly, two very good safeties. And Tre'Davious White.
I think of him as Mr. Bush. Mr. Rachel Bush. Jordan Poyer.
Who's Mr. Rachel? Oh, that's her. That's his wife's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a smoke show that he's working with. Their safety's very good, but that's what I'm saying. It's not as obvious. Like, you've got Stephon Diggs, obviously. Roger Saffold is, I mean, they got some good offensive linemen. Now they added Saffold. They got Mitch Morse over there. Josh Allen is a yes. I wouldn't necessarily give that to Devin Singletary, where he's a top five.
No, but like, if you say top thing that I said that I read the other day was the most underrated players on each team, and they gave that to Devin Singletary.
Now, you did have Von Miller.
Yep.
You added Von Miller. Tremaine Edmonds is good, not great. Matt Milano's good. Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde are both very good.
Yep.
They don't catch a lot of attention, but they're really good.
Tre'Davious is great.
And Tre'Davious is great. He's a really good one. So, but it's not just filled with superstars. It's interesting, but it's also how you build a team. You don't have to have superstars. You just need good football players. So they're number one. They got them number one, and they got the Rams number three. Who's number two?
They've got Bills one, Chargers two.
Wow. The Chargers.
Rams three, Bucks four, Bengals five. Bengals got a lot of good players.
Bengals are on the come up.
Kansas City, then Dallas, Green Bay, Philadelphia, Baltimore. The Chargers do have a lot of talented players. There's no question about that. More so than the Rams. I just got to see the Chargers do it. I got to see the Chargers actually make the playoffs once. That's something.
They made it last year, right?
No.
Didn't they win the little play-in, the one in? No, they weren't a wild card
team. The Raiders won
it.
The Raiders got
it. The Raiders won that game?
Yeah.
God, I can't remember who won. I couldn't remember who won the game.
I got to see the Chargers actually, you know. I know how great they're.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of all the Charger hysteria.
Yeah.
Like, do something.
Yeah, they just don't do it.
And this really should be the year. Of all the years, you look at who they have. I mean, you have Austin Ekeler, you have Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. Rashawn Slater was terrific. He actually got a vote for Offensive Rookie of the Year last year. The offensive line, Corey Linsley is a good center that they got from the Green Bay Packers. Defensively, you know, they need to get better, but they got Joey Bosa if you can keep him healthy. Kenneth Murray has not developed into the linebacker they wanted just yet. Khalil Mack they added. J.C. Jackson. Yeah, you added Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson to your team.
Yeah.
You're going to maybe make that list.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 713-780-377. I just hate that our Texans are 31st. They should be right up there.
It takes time. That's okay.
No.
I'm actually feeling more calm about Nick. After two drafts, I'm like, you know what? There's some things I like, some things I wasn't crazy about. I saw it a little different than him on some players, but that doesn't make me right. I just saw it a little different. And it feels comfortable knowing that a guy's running a team like a regular NFL team. It's not maddening to me.
It's amazing to me. They got San Francisco at 18th here. San Francisco was in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I don't.
San Francisco was a tart drop away from going to the Super Bowl last year. And that's with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. I mean, honestly, how do you have San Francisco 18th? They do have the Patriots 24th. Patriots roster is not.
No.
No.
He's made
a lot of mistakes.
Well, look at the teams drafting early. Chargers, Bengals. Of course, they added, Chargers added free agents. But, yeah, that's how the NFL is supposed to work. You get a lot of low draft picks, Philadelphia 76ers in basketball,
hopefully
the Houston Rockets. Yeah, you get the low picks, you elevate. That's how it's supposed to work, if you do it right.
Well, guess what? When the Bengals are drafting first, Joe Burrow is there. When the Texans are drafting first, it's Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, it's a big, big difference. The year before the Texans drafted David Carr, it was Michael Vick. You walked into the David Carr draft as opposed to the Michael Vick draft. Mm-hmm. That sucks. I mean,
Texans
it's been that way. It's always
Jadeveon
been that way.
Bad luck, the Jadeveon Clowney draft. You mean the one with Aaron Donald in it? But it is going to go down as like, you mean that draft that's going to go down with maybe the greatest defensive lineman in the history of football in it? Yeah, but no one was taking him first. Couldn't take a 280-pound defensive tackle first.
No.
Then people, Ed Oliver is the next Aaron Donald. No, he's not. Stop saying that. It's not fair to Ed. Just because they are the same size, stop saying they're the same player.
They're not.
They're not the same player.
Better roster, Texans or Alabama? Texans. Texans. Better roster.
Right now,
yeah.
More first-rounders on it, Texans or Alabama?
What?
Just let's take before last year's draft. Who had more first-rounders on them, Texans or Alabama?
Before last year's draft? The Texans had Tunsil, they had Howard, they had Nico Collins.
Second.
Nico Collins was second, yeah. Brandon. He was first rounder. Cooks was first rounder.
Yep, that's good.
On defense, was Desmond King a first rounder?
No.
No. That's interesting.
Not Greenard. Not Malik Collins.
No.
Ross Blacklock was the second. I don't have a lot of hope for Ross Blacklock.
No.
By the way. Let's see. Alabama had Evan Neal, Jameson Williams. He blew out a knee, made it in the first round. I just said on the team. Bryce Young will be a first rounder also. So they had two. Alabama had two in the first last year. They will have at least.
That's all they had? Will Alabama
Anderson.
Had two?
Yeah, I thought they had more. But
that's
they only had.
That's a down year.
Yeah, Evan Neal and Jameson.
Well, Georgia took over the all.
Yeah,
the,
Georgia
all
took
the,
over.
Yeah.
Alabama had Jameson Neal. So you have Bryce Young. You have Will Anderson will be a first rounder. Like, don't kid yourself. Alabama right now has 9 first rounders on their roster.
Yeah.
At
and
least.
The Texans don't.
No.
The Texans don't. Now, 843 ESPN 97.5 and 92.
Now, they're built different. You can't just, the only first rounders you can get, you can't recruit them, you just draft them. So, obviously, over 5 years, if you do a great job of drafting, you'll have 5 first rounders on your team.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a loaded, it's kind of a trick question because Alabama's always going to win. But it just is always a weird, it's always a weird deal because of all those players that are on the Texans roster. If you had taken them and put them on one team when they were coming out and played them against Alabama, a good Alabama team, then what would the game have turned into? Davis Mills coming out from Stanford, throwing to Brandon Cooks coming out of Oregon State, throwing to Nico Collins coming out of Michigan, which was the case last year, with Laramie Tunsil coming out of Ole Miss and Titus Howard coming out of Alabama State or wherever he came from against Will Anderson and, take an Alabama team, that's a trickier thing than if you just – because Alabama's got a bunch of first, second, and third rounders coming out at the same time, and that's where the Texans' picks were first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. That's where the conversation gets interesting because you basically are taking like an all-star team of first, second, third. No, it's not even close. Alabama would beat any team like that.
Well, yeah, as long as they all get older and –
yeah, that's where the advantage
right,
is.
Right.
Older, stronger,
right.
Experience in the league. The strength and the growth is a very real factor the first 2 years in the league. Guys get so much bigger, stronger. They eat better. The lean muscle mass gets better. Like, they start turning into grown men. It is a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
A 20-year-old versus a 23-year-old, it can oftentimes be a really big difference.
Yeah.
Especially a 23-year-old who's had 2 years of NFL nutrition training, weight training, strength training, you know, big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776. One of the worst mistakes, I mean, this is a nightmare. If you're doing a radio show, we've got a nightmare scenario for you.
Gosh.
On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It wasn't frisbee golf, so you didn't know. You didn't watch this weekend, did you?
Disc golf.
Did you watch frisbee golf? Did you watch JT Poston this weekend?
No.
Win the John Deere?
No.
I watched a lot of the tournament, but that's what I do. I like to watch golf, and so JT Poston went wire to wire, which doesn't happen too often. He led first round all the way through. He just kicked ass. He was unbelievable. He's not a big name per se.
Yeah, JP is a good golfer.
JT.
Well, they call him JP.
No, they don't. They call him JT.
John Paul.
JT. They call him JT Poston because that's his name. So he led wire to wire. It was awesome. He won his first tournament. He gets into the British Open. The Open Championship or the Open, whatever. And, you know, just a great, great day. His fiance was there. It was just touching. It was just touching. So he, you know, hey, it was awesome. What a week. His name is JT.
Yeah. People call him JT.
Which is also what Justin Thomas is called.
Yep.
JT. Because his name is Justin Thomas.
That's his nickname, JT.
So, on the show before ours, sometime this week, what was it, Monday or Tuesday? Monday or Tuesday, whatever the case may be, JT showed up on the show, and here's Freddie Coleman, who's in this week.
JT Poston.
Well, are you sure?
I'm not sure.
So here is Freddie Coleman introducing JT.
If that doesn't get you hyped up, nothing will. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Maxie, J. Williams, and Freddie Coleman, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM and Channel 80, as well as TuneIn. It's always cool to talk to a two-time major champion when it comes to golf, especially when the golfer has gotten a lot of attention for stuff on and off the course. He is Justin Thomas. Can't wait to talk with him. He hit him on Twitter at JustinThomas34, joining us here, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Just before I get to that, I got to ask you about this, about something you put on Twitter 7 days ago, and I quote, "When in the car, do you all ever kind of hope somebody doesn't abide by driving rules so you get an excuse to honk your horn? I mean, it doesn't happen often, but when I'm at a horn honking mood, dang, it feels nice to land that thing. I can't be alone here, right?" What led up to that, Justin?
Guys, I think there might be a mix-up. This is JT Poston, not Justin Thomas. I get this all the time, I guess, the other JT, but I don't know. You might have to ask him.
My mistake on that one. My mistake, my friend, from that standpoint. My apologies when it comes to that. But you're getting ready for the Open Championship and that approach. How are you feeling right now heading into that?
All right. So, RJ, you're a producer.
How does that happen?
How does this possibly happen?
How is it even possible?
How is that even possible?
I mean, me personally, like, I wouldn't have made that mistake. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the guy got on the phone, possibly, and was like, "Hey, Mr. JT," and, you know, he's like, "Hey, thanks for coming on. We'll have you on in about like 5 minutes. Hey, JT's on hold." Or was there not like a pre-show meeting, like, of, "Hey, we're gonna have JT Poston"?
That's what I'm trying to figure out here. Now, they could have, because I'm supposed to be on. I'm doing something with Harry Douglas and somebody else for Chris Canty and Carlin show, whoever Carlin is. They're on vacation, so I'm doing, they're previewing the Texans. I'm a guest on there at like 4:45 today. And I don't know if the person who booked me is also the producer. I'm not sure. I think it is, though.
Probably.
I think it is.
That show probably doesn't have that many people.
Yeah. Now, that show may have a guest booker and a producer. But I'm legitimately trying to figure out how could it get to that point where you think, like, a producer could have just written on a screen JT.
Yeah.
And you think it's Justin Thomas. Maybe they'd had a conversation. See if you can get
but
Justin
you have,
Thomas.
Like you said, there's got to be pre-show meetings. Who's going to be on the show?
Or a sheet that You've has
got
all
a
your...
sheet. Yeah.
I don't know how they could have made that mistake.
Unless Freddie just saw JT and said, oh, it's Justin Thomas. We got Justin Thomas, you know? And maybe he might not even have known who Justin JT Poston was if he didn't watch the tournament this week. But look, I could not have picked JT Poston out of a crowd, that's for sure, before this weekend. So I can certainly imagine Freddie Coleman doesn't know. And when he saw JT, he probably just said, oh, Justin Thomas. That is horrifying, though. Do you remember when we were in studio, and I think it was Kelvin Sampson. Or no. It was the coach before Kelvin Sampson.
Where were we?
We were in studio at 6:10.
Okay.
And I forgot his name.
The coach before Tom Penders?
It wasn't Penders. It was Ray McCallum.
Ray McCallum, yeah.
Ray McCallum. And I forgot his name. I'm sitting there.
I do remember that. Oh.
It was mortifying.
I've had that happen before too, like in life, but you like that's why I won't introduce somebody. That's but people whose name I should absolutely know.
Yeah.
And I'm blanking out, and I have like
do that all the time.
I have found a way around it, you know, on the fly. You can't really do that when you're introducing the head coach of Houston. You all know him and love him. Coach, what's going on?
I couldn't.
Thanks. It's me, Ray McCallum.
Yeah. It happened again here when, I forget the forward for the Rockets and he was a rebounder and from Louisville.
Montrezl Harrell?
No, older. And he was back in the day. And he
Caldwell
sat down.
Jones?
No.
I don't
he
even know where he went
down.
To school.
Actually,
Rodney McCray?
Rodney McCray.
Okay.
Rodney McCray sat down in here. And
Rodney McCray was here? When was it? I was here.
No, it wasn't. It was before.
Yeah.
And he just sat down, and somebody said, here. And here you go. And he sat him down, and he goes, hey, you want him? And I was like, yeah. What's his name? I was like, and I know Rodney. He was on my TV show all the time, and I couldn't remember his name.
What did you say? What's his name in front
of
him?
No, I was texting. I forget who was behind the glass. I'm texting. Who is this?
Was it Dell?
Who is it? It might have been Dell. I forget who it was. It was. Oh my!
Had to have been Dell.
I think it was Dell. And I was like, "Who is this?" And he was like, I don't know."
No. Were you in the middle of the show?
Yes.
Or was it during a break?
No, it was in the middle of the show. And so he sits down here and I'm like.
So the same thing happens to me whenever I get text messages and I don't have the number. And sometimes I've just kept the number up for so long that I've been meaning to put the name in and I don't.
Yeah.
Because I can always look, that's that person. It is the worst. To this day, I just don't feel like pulling a new phone trick. Because one time I actually did. I had to resync my phone from iTunes to Cloud. I lost like a bunch of names on numbers that I had put into the direct phone that never linked up to the cloud because I lost the phone because that's what happens.
Yeah.
Because I actually lost the phone. I left it at a gas station.
In a cab.
Yeah. I mean,
whatever.
But only this one I never got back. Well, anyway, it's the worst whenever somebody hey, man, man, I saw you on NFL Network. That was good stuff that you had about the Texans. Oh, thanks a lot. So what are you up to, man? Like, how's things going? How's the family? Oh, it's good. How are things going for you? Please give me a clue who you are. Are things going good for you?
Yeah.
I can't say your family. I don't know. No, maybe not. I'm like.
You might have lost your family.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
Hey, how are things going in your world? And I'm over there. Oh, good. I just won election for this county seat or whatever. It's Christian Becerra. I know who that is. Oh, good, man. You know, same old grind.
That don't help.
Yeah, me too. Same grind for me too. But you know me with the radio stuff.
Yeah. What about your stuff?
What about your stuff, man? How'd your high school? Do you see anyone from high school? Maybe it's somebody from Lamar. Like, I don't know. My high school, like, oh, you wouldn't know any of them. Okay, that gives me a hint.
I can tell you this. Freddie Coleman.
Man, when's the last time we saw each other?
Freddie Coleman probably that's the worst sinking feeling when Ray McCallum is sitting there, right, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like,
and he's in studio.
I forget your name.
I was there too. I can't.
Yeah, no, I was trying to introduce him, and I'm like looking at you like,
and I didn't know what you were like. Yeah, what yeah.
Ray, you go? I think you went Ray McCallum.
I think I did.
The worst. 859 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776. The number to hang with us here.
ESPN 97.5.